Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our new studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. We're starting our show today with a trip to La Mesa for the grand opening of the Brady Family Clubhouse at the La Mesa Boys and Girls Club. Community leaders have gathered. Bob Taylor of Taylor Guitars has just presented a $50,000 donation to the La Mesa Boys and Girls Club on behalf of the East County Economic Development Council. Commendations have been presented by La Mesa Mayor Art Madrid and by a representative of Congressman Duncan Hunter, honoring Ron and Mary Alice Brady, who pledged $3 million to build the new clubhouse and renovate the teen center. Next up, one of East County's most famous citizens will be speaking, NBA Hall of Famer and former Helix High School basketball star Bill Walton. Mr. Walton is best known for his exceptional achievements on the basketball court, but he's also proud to be in the Boys and Girls Club Hall of Fame. So today, he's here to lead a team that's fundraising for the new Bill Walton Gymnasium, giving back to the children in this community where he was mentored and helped back when he was growing up. You can learn more or donate at friendsofbillwalton.org. And now, let's hear some highlights of Bill Walton's inspirational speech and learn why, to the people of East County, Bill Walton is a true hometown hero in more ways than one.
Please bear in mind as we move forward, and we salute Ron and Mary Alice, and we acknowledge the greatness of our community here. What great leaders do is that they inspire pride and loyalty. Pride, the satisfaction with our choices, the choices that we have made to come here, to be part of La Mesa, to be part of the future of our great community. As we look around on this most magnificent of days, I just wish it was warmer. I wish it was like this every single day. But the loyalty that comes with that. Loyalty is that human attribute that allows us as a community to come together, to be a part of a team, and to realize that what we have is so special is a result of our caring about what goes on. Not about us. It's about these young children here who just have those fantastic smiles, who just have those eyes, who are just so full of dreams and so full of hope. And so as we move forward together through life, just think of the elements that are going to be necessary to close this deal. We all have the pride. We all have the loyalty. We're here. But we also must realize that this is an ongoing project. Think of all the people who have sacrificed for you to get to where you are today. I dream back as we were driving over here today. I was pointing out where Emery Ellis used to live. And these people who meant so much to all of us growing up. And you know, we're now those people that these youngsters are looking at to us. So when we think about how tough it is, and we're always just crazed in the madness of business and the madness of all the problems that we always face, and the traffic is just always just absolutely crazy. Think about the discipline and the sacrifice that people before us exhibited in their life on a daily basis so that we could be here today, to be in that same position where these young people will one day be us. And this Ron and Mary Alice Teen Center, how great is it to be able to come and learn, to be able to come and be a part of something special, to be able to come and eat all the things that when we were growing up, that was just the great part of life. Are you kidding? Although I must admit that my older brother, Bruce, He did steal all my food. And so I'm glad that Bruce was not able to make it today so that some of you could eat. One of the common themes that keeps coming up as we move forward is the need for a creative imagination, which is the hallmark of this community here, to be able to dream about how we're going to figure this out, but also the empathy that's needed to understand, hey, maybe not everybody else had those same opportunities that we just took for granted. So as I say goodbye, as I say thank you, please always take a moment as we make our choices in life. The reason I'm here today is because of you, but of also the choices that I make in my life, which are based on people, on passion, on purpose. Realize that these young people who want so much to be in the game of life, who want to be on the top of the mountain, who want to be able to come in here and have somebody to look forward to. I was 10 years old when the San Diego Chargers moved to San Diego. They chose as their training site Sunset Park, which is a half mile from our family home in Rosonia Heights, just there on the edge of Lake Murray. They were my heroes, and I rode my bike and skateboard every day to Sunset Park, the way that these guys are coming here every single day to try to get the inspiration, to try to somehow find their path to the top of the mountain. And I saw all those guys, and I dreamed. I was so lucky. By the time I got to Helix, I was good enough because of my teammates like Randy and Dave and Emery and my mom and dad, Chick Hearn, that I was good enough that I got to meet all those heroes. My commitment to this program here, my commitment to the Boys and Girls Club, to the Brady Teen Center, my commitment to La Mesa is hopefully one day to be able to sit in that brand new Boys and Girls Club and to see all these children just come running in and playing the way we used to play down at the gym, the way we used to play down at La Mesa Elementary School, the way that Dave used to drive his dune buggy all over the Eastridge Hills over here. And to have that hope, to have that dream. It will not be easy, but it will be fun. And as I say thank you, please always think to yourself when you're making your own choices, whatever it's based on, and the incredible need for discipline, for sacrifice to get to where we are. Just think what you would hope for if you were one of these little children. And if you were sitting there and saying, boy, oh boy, if I only had a place to go, if I only had something to eat, if I only had a hero, if I only had a role model, if I only had a dream, if I only had a place to go, if I only had a place and somebody there who I could look up to and I could learn from. I was one of those children 61 years ago. I'm Bill Walton. I'm from La Mesa. I went to Helix. I'm in the Boys and Girls Club Hall of Fame. And I truly am the luckiest guy in the history. Thanks, everybody. Good luck. Thank you, Ron and Marianne.
After Bill Walton spoke, Steve South, chairman of the La Mesa Capital Campaign for the Boys and Girls Club, closed the ceremony with these words of wisdom.
Is he the best or what? I'm going to leave you with three sayings. Okay? Number one, it's better to build children than try to mend adults. Number two, kids don't care what you know until they know that you care. And for the ones that don't have a role model or a dad at home, young boys cannot be what they cannot see. Think about it.
Next up, we have the East County Magazine Local Government Report. And first, Leon Thompson reports from La Mesa.
Downtown La Mesa is getting a facelift. Construction has begun on the Downtown Village Streetscape project, which will include new landscaping, sidewalks, outdoor lighting, benches, and enhanced pedestrian features, as well as upgrades to sewers and street signs. The project will take several months, with construction expected to finish next year. On Tuesday, La Mesa City Council voted to limit construction to daytime due to complaints from residents about noise during nighttime activities. City Manager Dave Witt says this won't delay the project's timetable. Council also voted unanimously to ask the Parking Commission to create a report on the impact of providing free parking, turning off parking meters during the revitalization project to assist merchants and to give shoppers a break. Council will consider the matter at future meetings, La Mesa Today reports. Shops in the village will remain open throughout construction, and no construction will occur during the city's annual Oktoberfest or other major events. According to the city's website, the goal of the streetscape project is to revitalize and beautify the downtown area to enhance its sense of place, to improve its status as a destination, and to solidify its identity as La Mesa City Center. Back to you, Miriam, for the latest news from El Cajon.
Thank you, Leon. El Cajon's City Council has voted unanimously to ban any new hookah lounges after it also imposed restrictions on stores that want to sell electronic cigarettes and other vaping devices. Councilman Gary Kendrick says there is no safe dose of tobacco and views the issue as a matter of protecting public health. El Cajon currently has only one hookah lounge within its city limits, and starting today, no more will be allowed. Businesses that want to sell electronic cigarettes or other electronic vapor inhalation devices will need to obtain a minor conditional use permit from the Planning Commission and pay a fee. A dozen or so speakers turned out in support of the hookah lounge measure, including representatives of the American Lung Association and Communities Against Substance Abuse. Supporters of electronic cigarettes and vaping have claimed that electronic cigarettes can help some people stop smoking, though studies have largely not supported this contention. Grossmont Union High School District Board Member Priscilla Schreiber applauds the decision, stating, "We have to keep our youth safe and healthy."
Descanso area residents take to the streets for Descanso Days every July. This year was the 45th year for the town's annual parade and street fair, and it was a great success. The Descanso Town Hall Association uses the proceeds to maintain the over 100-year-old town hall. Following the morning parade, organizations and businesses set up booths, vendors provided food and drinks, and the Steve Hill Band performed country music all afternoon. Longtime Descanso resident Bob Merrigan says it really brings the community together.
It's a local parade, so that's what's cool, is the people here are here to watch their kids and their activities, people from their activities go through this parade. So it's a local parade and we always enjoy it.
This year, was the turnout for the parade good?
I think it was very good this year. Some years when it's really hot, people back off, but this year wasn't very hot and it seemed like there was quite a few there. Yeah, good turnout.
Now, how about the rest of the turnout following the parade? How has that been?
Well, as usual, we have a big crowd up here at the town hall to eat, and then when everybody gets fed and go through the booths, they kind of filter out, and the ones that are left over are the ones that are going to stay here till the end of it.
You're a Descanso resident. Tell me about this community.
Things have changed considerably. A lot more upper income and people that want to get out of the city and out of the crime areas and things like this. Come out in the country. We get to see a little bit of the seasons here. It's a wonderful place to live. Your neighbors are always your friends. Everybody gets to see everybody. Events, community events. It's just a cool place to live. Really cool.
Merrigan says pretty much everybody he knows in Descanso shows up every year for Descanso Days. Jim Brewster, KNSJ News, reporting for East County Magazine.
This is Leon Thompson with a weekend weather report. The National Weather Service has issued a heat advisory in effect through Friday night at 9 p.m. Temperatures could hit 116 degrees in the deserts and up to 105 degrees in the mountains of San Diego's East County, though coastal areas will stay cool thanks to a shallow marine layer of clouds. Be sure to carry plenty of water if you're traveling. Avoid strenuous outdoor activities and please don't leave children or pets alone inside a hot vehicle.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with today's Green Scene Report. Palm oil is in many of the foods that you eat, from peanut butter to candy bars. It's also in cosmetics, soaps, and other personal care products. But as demand for cheap palm oil among major manufacturers grows, rainforests are being decimated in Southeast Asia and now Africa. This deforestation is endangering orangutans, chimpanzees, and other great apes by destroying their habitat. The World Wildlife Fund estimates that about half of all products found in major supermarkets contain palm oil. It's even in Girl Scout cookies. Palm oil can be grown sustainably on plantations without ravaging rainforests, or other ingredients can be substituted. Now, thanks to consumer pressure, some major companies are changing their ways. Starbucks, Kellogg, and Dunkin' Donuts have committed to using sustainable palm oil that is not from rainforests. So the next time you are shopping, check the label. Avoiding products with palm oil that's not sustainably farmed and letting companies know that you care about this issue could save great apes from extinction.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
Just 2 weeks ago, sheriff's deputies at the Santee Station became among the first law enforcement officers in California to carry naloxone, a drug that reverses the effects of heroin overdoses, under a new pilot program. And on Wednesday, Sheriff's Traffic Sergeant Scott Hill administered the medication to revive a 30-year-old man who was found by his mother unconscious with no pulse. The man's mother called 911 as his stepfather began CPR at the man's home on Bradley Avenue in El Cajon. Sergeant Hill was the first on the scene. He administered naloxone to the unconscious man, who was a heroin user. The man began breathing and was transported to a local hospital by paramedics. All of the deputies in the Santee Command have now been trained to use this important medication under the pilot program in conjunction with San Diego County Health and Human Services, Scripps Hospital, and UCSD Hospital. Sergeant Hill was one of the instructors in the use of naloxone in Santee. This is the first known use of naloxone by a deputy sheriff in San Diego County. In a press release issued by the sheriff, Sergeant Pat Gardner states, "Sergeant Hill's quick response and actions directly saved this individual's life." If the local pilot program is successful after its 6-month trial, naloxone, the generic version of the nasal spray medication Narcan, may soon become available to law enforcement agencies statewide.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week.
This is Miriam Raftery.
And this is Leon Thompson.
Guest hosting Destination East County. This week on Destination East County, we'll start with some hot concerts and summer plays, a star party campout, and a parade. Plus, we'll have previews of more super summertime events, from Jazz and Julian to some rollicking times at the Ramona Country Fair.
Latin heartthrob Lorenzo Antonio will perform at Sequan's Live and Up Close Theater on Saturday, July 26. By age 12, he had already sold 1 million records. By 17, he was internationally known throughout North and South America. The singer-songwriter has sold out concerts in over 70 cities and has won numerous platinum gold record awards in his career. For tickets, visit Sequan.com and click on Entertainment.
The Three Musketeers will be swashbuckling across the stage at Grossmont College's Stage House Theater on July 24th through 26th, and then again on July 30th and 31st. The play is based on Alexander Dumas' classic tale of heroism, treachery, and close escapes. To defend the honor of the Queen of France, the Musketeers must outwit the wicked Cardinal Richelieu and Countess de Winter and out-swashbuckle their enemies. For tickets and more information, you can visit grossmont.edu/theaterbrochure.
The Young Actors Theater production of Music Man continues this weekend, July 24th through 27th, at the YAT Theater on Campbell Road in Spring Valley. The musical centers around fast-talking salesman Harold Hill as he cons the people of River City, Iowa, into buying musical instruments and uniforms for a boys band he vows to organize, even though he doesn't know a trombone from a treble clef. His plans to skip town with the cash are foiled when he falls for Marion, the librarian, who transforms him into a respectable citizen. For tickets and details on showtimes, visit yatsd.org.
The Soul Persuaders will rock El Cajon on Friday night with classic funk and soul music. It's all part of Dinner and a Concert, held every Friday night all summer long from 6 to 8 p.m. along downtown El Cajon's Main Street. The concerts are free to the public, and discounts are available for those who choose to arrive early and dine at one of El Cajon's participating restaurants. For details, you can go to downtownelcajon.com.
At Oak Oasis Preserve Campground in Lakeside, a free family campout and star party will be held on Friday, July 25th, ending on Saturday, July 26th. You're invited to join members of the San Diego Astronomy Association and park staff using telescopes to view stars and planets from 8 until 10 p.m. If you plan to camp over, arrive by 7 p.m. to set up before sunset. Camping gear, warm clothes, and a flashlight are recommended. There are restrooms and showers on site. Campfires will be permitted with wood provided by the park, but no outside wood is allowed to prevent the spread of bark beetles. Please RSVP by calling 619-561-0590.
The mountain town of Pine Valley hosts its annual Pine Valley Days festivities on July 25th and 26th. The fanfare starts on Friday night, July 25th, with a deep pit barbecue from 5 to 8 p.m. and then dancing from 6 to 10 p.m. Then on Saturday, after a breakfast at the Pine Valley Clubhouse at 7 a.m., a parade rolls out at 9 o'clock, followed by activities for families and kids from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., including the Free Music in the Mountains Festival at Pine Valley Park, a horseshoe tournament, country marketplace, arts and craft vendors, food, and from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., a chili cook-off. For more information on all of these events, you can visit pinevalleydays.com.
Ramona Ranch Winery is offering up an artisan wine pairing with fruits, herbs, and cheeses on July 26th from 3 until 6 p.m., catered by Trezette's Catering. The menu includes nectarines with tarragon feta cheese paired with Ramona Ranch Orange Muscat, plums with a lavender goat cheese paired with Ramona Ranch Sangiovese Rosé, and strawberries with basil blue cheese paired with Ramona Ranch Syrah. For more information, you can visit RamonaRanch.com.
Christian Community Theater's production of the musical Les Miserables continues this weekend and next at the Amphitheater atop Mount Helix, where the stars shine overhead and on stage. Set amid the French Revolution, Les Mis is an epic tale of courage, sacrifice, and passion. For details and tickets, you can visit ChristianCommunityTheater.com.
Now for a preview of some coming attractions.
This year's Ramona Country Fair will be held on Thursday, July 31st through Sunday, August 3rd. The Ramona Chamber of Commerce's annual Ramona Country Fair features the Ramona Junior Fair and Livestock Auction, two stages of music and entertainment, amusement rides for the kids and for the young at heart, craft and business vendors, and a food court. Entertainment includes a battle of the bands, music by headlining musical groups, the annual Ramona Idol competition, a singer-songwriter showcase, and much more. The fair will focus also on some good old country fun with contests featuring jams and jellies, bread making, salsa, jerky, and more. The Ramona Country Fair is located at Aqua Lane and 5th Street in Ramona, and for more info, you can Google the Ramona Chamber of Commerce website.
On Friday, August 1st, Robin Hinkle and Jamie Shadowlight will perform blues and jazz from 6 to 9 p.m. at Winola Pizza. The pizzeria is located on Highway 78 in Winola on the outskirts of Julian in the mountains of East County.
Mission Trails Regional Park will be featuring vocalist and recording artist Lillian Palmer on August 3rd from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. Palmer performed in nightclubs and cabarets in Italy before returning home to Southern California. You're invited to enjoy her deep, rich voice at this free concert, part of a series of musical performances at the park's Visitor Center Theater, located at One Father Junipero Serra Trail in San Diego. For more details on this concert, as well as other upcoming performances there, you can check out mtrp.org, as in Mission Trails Regional Park.
The 7th annual Heart of Mount Helix will be held on Saturday, August 16th from 5:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. in the park atop Mount Helix. The event features live music on two stages, visual artists at work, restaurant tastings, auction, a signature cocktail, craft beer, wine, and sunset views. For more information on tickets and reservations, visit mounthelixpark.org.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section, as well as our arts and music section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like to add to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County show on KNSJ, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions across San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities. This is Gray Feathers with a Tribal Beat report on East County Magazine. Ethnobotany is the study of how people in various cultures utilize native plants. This includes plants used as food, clothing, currency, in ritual, medicine, dye, construction, cosmetics, and more. The Barona Cultural Center and Museum and the Barona Indian Charter School have partnered together to practice ethnobotany. Kumeyaay News reports that this year, participating students from 7th and 8th grade classes at the Barona Indian Charter School studied the science of cultural plant use and how to preserve and prepare plant specimens. As part of the program, the students researched the scientific names and the traditional Native American use of plant specimens from the museum's collection, which includes samples gathered on the Barona Reservation by Elizabeth Winsong in the late 1970s to early 1980s. The entire process was documented digitally. In this age of genetically modified organisms or GMOs, devastating wildfires, dwindling open spaces, the plant specimens become increasingly valuable. Global warming is shifting the range of plants, and plants from all over the world can be introduced into the region. This can be devastating, as seen in the Anza Borrego Desert, where the Sahara mustard plant is choking the wildflowers. Native plants are disappearing, and so are their uses. The students were tasked with supplementing each specimen label with a descriptive paragraph including characteristics, origin, scientific nomenclature, its name in the Kumeyaay language, and traditional uses. A great deal of information about the traditional uses of plants is still intact with tribal peoples. The museum staff also consulted with Barona tribal member and language expert Pat Curo and the tribe's language preservation team to teach the students the Kumeyaay names of each plant and create recordings of the plant names in the Kumeyaay language. In the past, the program's research results were only accessible in the classroom. Now, the new online exhibition allows students and Native American scholars everywhere access to the research data. The Barona Cultural Center is the first museum located on an Indian reservation in San Diego County. It's located just 1 mile north of the Barona Resort and Casino. It is open Tuesday through Friday from noon to 5 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. To see the magnificent heritage project, visit the Barona Museum website at baronamuseum.com.
A 43-year-old Santee man has the first confirmed local case of West Nile virus this year, the County Health and Human Services Agency reports. There has not been a human case of the disease in San Diego County since 2012. The disease, which is transmitted by mosquito bites, was detected during routine screening of blood that the man donated. He did not recall any mosquito bites lately, but may have been bitten while camping outside the state recently. The county's Department of Environmental Health Vector Control Program is inspecting for potential mosquito breeding locations near the man's home and setting up mosquito monitoring traps in the surrounding areas of Santee. Wilma Wooten, the county's public health officer, says a dead crow tested positive for West Nile virus in the city of San Diego last week, so the virus is definitely in our region. She adds, it's important for the public to know West Nile virus is a dangerous and potentially deadly disease. The California Department of Public Health reported 15 deaths related to the West Nile virus in the state last year. Of those who become infected with West Nile virus, 80% will have no symptoms. About 1 in 5 people who are infected will develop only a mild illness that includes a headache, fever, nausea, fatigue, skin rash, or swollen glands. Less than 1% of those infected will have serious neurologic complications that can be life-threatening. The risk of complications increases for those over age 50 and for people with weakened immune systems. Health officials urge people to protect themselves by practicing Prevent, Protect, Report. Prevent mosquito breeding. Dump out or remove any backyard item that can hold water, such as plant saucers, rain gutters, buckets, garbage cans, toys, old tires, and wheelbarrows. Mosquito fish, available for free from Vector Control, may be used to control mosquito breeding in backyard water sources, such as neglected swimming pools, ponds, fountains, and water troughs. Protect yourself from West Nile virus by staying inside when mosquitoes are most active between dusk and dawn. Wear long sleeves and pants when outdoors. Use insect repellent. And make sure screens on windows and doors are in good condition and secured. Report dead crows, ravens, jays, hawks, and owls, and green swimming pools to the Vector Control Program at 858-694-2888 or vector at sdcounty.ca.gov. You can also download the Fight the Bite app to anonymously report green swimming pools, mosquito breeding areas, and dead birds. For more information about West Nile virus, go to the San Diego County's Fight the Bite website. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
You're listening to the Voices of East County, East County Magazine on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. And coming up next, our bookshelf host, Raina Menashe, will be interviewing East County Magazine's very own Baja blogger, Susan Mihalik, about her book for folks interested in living or traveling in Baja, California.
Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today I'm interviewing Susan A. Mihalik, author of My Gold Coast Baja, Practical Guide, which has recently been released in its second edition and as an ebook. Welcome, Susan. It's a pleasure having you on Bookshelf.
Thank you.
Let's start with the topic of your book, Baja California, or more specifically, the northern tip of Mexico. You moved there from San Diego 11 years ago, and you moved by yourself without a book like yours to follow. Start by telling us a little bit about that journey and what it is about Baja that drew you then and draws you still.
Well, what happened actually is I was going down there for long weekends with a friend that had a house down there, and I noticed after a while I started crying coming back this way on a Sunday evening.
Really?
And I said, I have a solution for that. I was living in Hillcrest at the time, which was very expensive.
Yes.
And I found a place down there for $400 for a house.
Wow.
Now, I didn't realize at the time that my commuting costs were going to make it almost equivalent to living up here by the time you do the insurance in two countries and everything else that's in there. But it was just a comfortable place to live, and actually the demographic is largely single women.
Really?
Which you don't find out till you live there. So for me to say that it's safe down there, I can say that with certainty. I don't know of a single person who's gotten killed that's an American in almost 12 years.
Now, why do you think that the media gives the impression that it is so unsafe?
Well, certain parts of Mexico are. I've already been told I don't want to travel to Sinaloa. I don't want to go to Jalisco. Everybody's heard about Ciudad Juarez, which is right across the border from Texas, where it's so dangerous, it's crazy. So, like any other country, you have to be very careful about where you are. I would never even visit Detroit in the United States.
Right.
But where I am, it's totally safe. There's 2,000 people in the little town of La Misión. And most of the activity of violence is between the cartel and the police and the military. It doesn't involve a regular citizen at all, ever.
Civilians. And what about finding work in Baja? Is that something that people do, or no, they don't?
No, Americans can't find work down there.
Typically,
they are retired, and they start their dream business. Two of my best friends down there are winemakers.
Ah.
Now, for them to start a wine business up in Napa or Sonoma would have been almost impossible.
Right.
And my one friend actually makes wine on her back porch.
That's a good story. Well, let's go to your book. It's been called A Primer and Guide for Those Considering Visiting or an Extended Stay in Mexico. Tell us more about the format and purpose of the book. I know you have photos from David Worthy that you include. You have anecdotes and advice on things like medical care and how to move in the first place. So give us a snapshot of your book.
Well, what happened is I started writing for the Baja Times, which Dennis Moore has also written for as a freelancer. And I found that people were really responding to my articles. So, of course, I saved all of those. And then I added in things like the medical care, how do you move there, what's food shopping like, how should you dress in Baja. I mean, leave the gold jewelry at home. Don't cover yourself and make yourself look, you know, ostentatious when you
right.
go out. So it's a primer of how to live there as far as heating your home and all of that. But it's also a sampling of the wineries and the different great restaurants. But I didn't make it like a farmer's guide. I made it
right.
a sampler, I call.
So you use the photos to capture the beauty, not just the information.
Right. It's not all inclusive, but I found when I was there for the first year, every day was like this huge learning curve. You're in a brand new country.
Yes.
And everything's different. And so this, I've had people read it that have just moved there, and they find it invaluable. Because
mm-hmm.
now they've got, they know at least now how to get insurance and what medical care is like and dental care,
mm-hmm.
which is a fraction of what it is up here.
Right. And what about the language barrier? How, did you know Spanish when you moved there? Did you learn it while you were there?
Well, I had the high school Spanish still back in the brain somewhere. And I find just like any other experience, you just start, you jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would talk to the border guards or I would talk to the person checking out my groceries. I didn't know very much Spanish, but it's almost all English speaking
mm-hmm.
because it is so close to the border. The wait staff, the medical people, the doctors,
mm-hmm.
everybody speaks English. So there is no barrier, really.
Interesting. You're from New Jersey, and I know, as an East Coaster, that that's many worlds and cultures away from your current home. Describe for us the locale that you have fallen in love with, the one that most tourists don't see. What are a few of Baja's hidden places?
Oh, that's Guadalupe Valley. That's the wine valley. Now, I brought a bottle of wine up here once to somebody that was really familiar with Sonoma County. He didn't know they'd even made wine in Baja, which is the major wine-growing region. And I'm only 35 minutes away on just a really simple, easy road. And also, what's really interesting about Guadalupe Valley is that there's starting to be these five-star chefs showing up, like Drew Deckman, who had a place in Cabo. And he just closed it, and he's got an outdoor restaurant. They're called campestres. Basically, they put up a wood grill and some kind of shade, and it's a restaurant. No overhead cost. And they're springing up, I'd say, about one every 3 months. There's a new one that opens, and they're amazing. Things like octopus on the grill.
Oh, that sounds good.
And here's another weird one. How about a salad, a romaine lettuce salad? That's wood-fired.
On the grill?
On the grill.
I've never heard of that.
But it was really good. And it's really reasonable. A meal for a person in the wine valley for lunch is $15.
Speaking of money, let's go a little bit more into the financial side of it. The real estate and tax prices that you quote in the book are fantastic. What is the financial side of life typically for an American relocating to Baja, other than the less expensive house or apartment?
Well, it's not just that. What most Californians fell in love with when they cashed in their property up here is that the average property that runs about $300,000, the taxes per year are $250 per year, which is phenomenal. Now, I pay $300 for a studio apartment with fantastic views in a gated community.
It can't be that. what about the medical care, the food? Is it just everything across the board?
Everything's cheaper with the exception of Coca-Cola and beer.
Oh,
I just had a filling last week, and their dentists down there are very caring, and people actually come from France to get dental care in Baja. I guess they have expensive dentists there, too. I had a filling put in. It was very extensive. She drilled for at least half an hour, and it was $25.
Okay. Now, what about the social life? In your book, you talk about how easy it is to make friends over there and get involved in the local art scene, which I find interesting. In your opinion, what is it about Baja that creates a welcoming community for Americans, other than having other Americans there? What is it that is so welcoming?
Well, I found in San Diego, everybody was either on the freeway or working two jobs or doing whatever they had to survive, whereas down there you mostly have retirees. So they had time on their hands. I made good friends within the first 6 months of being there. Whereas I had difficulty in San Diego because I might make a friend and they would be 40 miles from where I live.
Right, right.
But then there's all these different groups you can get into. You can take up horseback riding. You can take up bridge. There's two groups that I think are wonderful for all the single women called Ladies That Lunch. And so we go to these fantastic restaurants you wouldn't normally dream of going to, like Mission 19 in Tijuana,
right,
and sit there and eat for 4 hours for $40 with drinks.
Now, are there single men there as well? Is that something that is part of the equation? Sometimes?
Sometimes. Well, I consider there's almost two camps. There's the people that sit all day in bars and drink, and of course I don't count them. But you do meet men at events, mm-hmm, by and large, especially like a wine event. Tomorrow night I'm going to a tequila tasting. That's for my favorite charity, which is the libraries down there.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans have made a major impact on all the volunteerism that they do there.
Awesome. And they have good libraries there, too.
They do now.
Okay.
Because the Americans kind of made that their impact.
And that's very important. Especially for a writer, right? And readers. One more question, Susan. What's next? Is there another book in the works? And if so, will it cover a similar topic or something else entirely?
Well, the new neighborhood I moved into, my two neighbors on one side, Jerry and David, lived in a place called Angel's Camp. And now that's off the grid, which means there's no sewer, there's no water, there's no electricity. And there's a few little places down there. The cover of my book is Campo Lopez, which is another one. But I'm doing a book on Angel's Camp because there's been all of these fascinating people that move there. And people like lawyers and architects from LA that went down there and bought a place on the beach for like $2,000 back in the day. It started in the 60s. It's still fairly active. And I crashed a pig roast there the day after 4th of July. And I was just like, they were so welcoming, and they're like, come back, interview us. We're glad to be part of this project. So I'm going to do a total departure and do something that's about a community that brought surfers and architects and all these different people down to a place where they had to bring coolers and Coleman lanterns initially.
Fascinating. Look forward to seeing that. Our time is up, Susan, but thank you again for joining us.
I'm so glad to be here. I've been excited about this ever since I knew I was going to be doing this interview. Thanks for having me here.
For more information on Susan Mihalik and her work, please visit her Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Susan.Mihalik, which is M-A-H-A-L-I-C-K. Again, this is Raina Menashe, and you have been listening to East County Magazine's Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our brand new studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. My very special guest today is Dick Rogers, and Dick is the past president of the El Cajon Lions Club, Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, Dick is here today to tell us all about a camp that the Lions Club puts on. It's called Camp Jack. It started Monday of this week up at Camp Oliver in Descanso, right where our KNSJ transmitter is located. Dick, tell us what's special about this camp.
This camp is run totally by the Lions Club and funded by the Lions Club. It's just for at-risk kids, and it's totally free to anyone that wants to attend.
Wonderful. Now, there's an interesting story in how this all got started. It came about because of a man named Jack Wyatt, and Jack was a foster child himself, I understand. Tell us a little bit more.
Jack was born and raised in Brawley. I don't know when he moved to San Diego, but he became an insurance man. And as a member of the San Diego Lions Club, decided that he'd like to do something for the kids, at-risk kids, as he called them, and solicited the help of his Lions Club. And then, consequently, we have a district, which is San Diego and Imperial County, and all the Lions Club in that district were invited to attend and help him put it together.
Now, how do they define at-risk children? I understand it's a fairly flexible definition so that no deserving child is left out. But what are some of the categories of at-risk children that are welcome at this camp?
Well, they're selected because the school counselors recommended them, the Boys and Girls Club recommended them, maybe a probation officer had someone he'd like to see go. Their term, the term at-risk is not specific to any one child or any one category. It's just kids that are inner city kids that have never been out to a camp out situation.
Yes, I understand it also includes children who may have a parent in jail, for example.
Yes, if they got an incarcerated parent or they themselves have been through a probation, they're certainly welcome.
So a lot of these are inner city kids, some of them have never been out much in the outdoors, in the wilderness. What's that like for them, and what are some of the kinds of experiences that they get at this camp?
Well, the first thing we do on Sunday, they get an orientation period where they're taught the rules and the language of the camp. And then our Lions Club, the El Cajon Lions Club, provides a barbecue, all you can eat. And if you see some of these kids when they go back to the table for the second and third time, you know they don't have a real good family life where they can say they sat down to a regular meal. We don't have any limitations on what they eat. The next day, Monday, they start a program where there's a swimming pool, swimming lessons, archery, all the camp crafts that you'd expect, mm-hmm. they're provided.
Mm-hmm. Then they get to do fishing. I understand you're taking some kids out to Lake Cuyamaca this week.
Depending on how many sign up, we will do 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, if we have that many sign up. It can just be a one-day fair. They're provided little vans to take them up there. We have Lions who will meet them at the fishing dock, provide poles, lines, bait, provide the knowledge to show them how to do the bait, although most of the girls never want to do it anyway, and show them how to untangle lines. Of course, most of the time we do that too. The main thing is to keep them in occupied, get their fishing line in the water with bait, and hopefully they'll catch something. And when they do, it really becomes a big thing.
I bet you. And they get to stay in cabins. They even get a chance to camp out under the stars one night, I understand.
Yes, they have 10 kids per cabin with two counselors. And we have an outdoor program. Like you say, one night they get to sleep out. I'm not sure the word get is right. Some of them aren't too fond of it, but because they don't know about animals and stuff, they're from the inner city. But they do, and they really enjoy it later on.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about discipline and behavioral problems? If some of these are troubled children, do you have any issues with that, or does everybody pretty much get along up there?
I think the law averages says you're bound to have somebody or a couple of kids that still want to act the way they do at home or with their friends. And the counselors are trained to take care of it, but in a lot of cases, the kids themselves take care of it. The kids that are there to have a good time and learn things don't want to be bothered by a kid with a bad attitude. So usually it takes care of itself.
Yeah, I know you've told us before in the press release you sent out that these kids may be labeled at risk, but to us they are the sweetest, most polite, well-behaved, and appreciative children for the most part. What do you think is the most important thing that the kids take home with them from this camp?
Well, it's not just one thing. They actually learn how to deal with other people. They learn authority to an extent. In some cases, they're not used to it, but this authority is administered in a different way, mm-hmm. so they're more receptive to it. And I think in the, we send out a or give them a questionnaire at the end of the camp, and they say that the three things that they enjoyed the most was making new friends, the swimming pool, which, of course, most of them don't have, and, of course, going fishing, which in a lot of cases none of them have.
Wonderful. So they wind up taking home memories to last a lifetime.
That's the term we like to use.
Now, for those who may not be familiar with the El Cajon Host Lions Club or the Lions Club in general, Dick, can you tell us a little bit more about how the Lions Club got started and some of the other important programs that they do?
Well, it goes back a long ways, and I'm not real good on dates, but Helen Keller challenged a group of businessmen to do something to help the blind. And they did, as a group of businessmen, form the Lions Club. And now they're worldwide. The last time I heard, we had 153 countries, not clubs, but countries where there were lion clubs in the world.
Now, I've seen that you have a donation drive ongoing for people to donate their used eyeglasses. And what do you do with those?
The eyeglasses that we get that are used, they're sent to a office that we run in San Francisco area, and they get their prescriptions off the glasses using this machine, and they tag them. And then, as needed, they're shipped out to various locations around the world. Our last shipment went to Guatemala. And they give these out free. They're not always the best-looking glasses, but they're functional.
Wonderful. Well, as someone who can no longer read without my glasses on, I can't imagine what it would be like to, as we age, to not have a pair of reading glasses. That's a wonderful thing that the Lions are doing.
We have boxes that we put out in businesses on the counters and in mobile home parks, soliciting your donation, especially in eye doctors' offices.
Yeah.
And soliciting your donation, and then when mm-hmm. they're full, why, they just call us and we come pick them up.
Well, very good. Are there other things that the Lions are involved in that you'd like our listeners to know
we
about?
We do. Blindness is our main thing, and we really concentrate all our efforts, not all our efforts, but most of our efforts on that. But we also work with canine companions. Mm-hmm. We do some diabetes
training, seeing eye dogs?
Yeah, we pay for the training. We pay for the dogs to be purchased, and then after they're purchased, and they're sent through a test period, and if they're not going to work, then, of course, they're let go. But if they are, then they go through a real lengthy training process.
Nice. Very nice. And then you also are involved in diabetes?
Very minor. Sight is our primary thing, but actually, you know, on request, we can do multi-things. But when it boils all down to it, our major fundraisers are all pointed towards the eyeglass program. And I say eyeglass program, maybe I should stop here and explain that we provided a machine to school districts. They have to borrow it from us and take it around between each school district. And they test students' eyes to see if they're bad. If they are in need of glasses, then we send them to a eye doctor that we have a contract with, and sometimes some of the bigger companies. And they test them and verify it and then prescribe the glasses and give them to the kids, which we pay for. So that sometimes runs $12,000, $15,000 a year to keep that program going.
Wow, that's a wonderful thing that you're doing. And it isn't just Lions, it's Lionesses. It's open to men and women.
Yes, men and women are welcome. Our current president, who was just installed last month, is a lady.
Well, very good. If people want to get more information, get involved, volunteer, donate their glasses, maybe they have a kid that they want to send to camp next year that they think is eligible for an at-risk youth, how would they get in touch and where would they get more information?
Well, the best bet is to go online and look up our website. We have a website that is easily accessed, and it's not just the El Cajon Lions, it's all the Lions in the district.
So if you just go Google El Cajon Lions yeah. or Lions Club, if you're in a different city, community in San Diego County, then you can find one close to you.
Right.
Very good. Well, Dick, I want to thank you very, very much for joining us here today to talk about Camp Jack and all of the other wonderful things that the Lions Club is doing right here in East County and around the world.
Thank you.
Due to high fire danger, Cleveland National Forest has announced elevated fire restrictions starting Friday, July 18th. The change is due to drier fuel conditions, higher temperatures, and the likelihood of small fires becoming big fires. To reduce fire danger, the elevated fire restrictions prohibit wood or charcoal fires except in designated areas. Also, smoking is prohibited except inside vehicles, buildings, or within a developed recreation site. Restrictions also require spark arresters on off-highway vehicles, chainsaws, and other internal combustion equipment. The fire restriction levels are posted on the Cleveland National Forest website, or you can get campfire information at smokybear.com. Before you visit the forest, you can contact your closest Forest Service office to find out the current information on fire danger and the level of fire restrictions. District offices are open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. You can also call the Descanso Ranger District for Alpine, Descanso, and Laguna Mountain areas at 619-445-6235. Or for Palomar Mountain, Ramona, and other areas in northeast San Diego County, call 760-788-0250. For East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.